Welcome to the Healthcare IT Today interview series. We feel lucky to be able to talk to so many smart, passionate, and knowledgeable people in healthcare. Now, we're taking our favorite interviews and sharing them with you. So sit back, relax, and enjoy perspectives on the world of health IT.
Yeah, no applause needed. The applause needed is these four, not me. I'm just here for the food. So, I appreciate you all coming out to this. We have a really exciting discussion about healthcare clouds and how to simplify things. I think we're also going to dive into a little AI since, here at healthcare, at HIMSS, it feels like a little AI discussion is needed. Otherwise, they kick you out, right? I think is that how this works? So thanks so much for joining. I appreciate Dell Technologies and Rackspace for hosting this discussion. As he said, I'm John Lin, the founder, chief editor at Healthcare IT Today. Excited to be the moderator for this. For those that don't know Healthcare IT Today, we've published about 17,000 articles over 18 years. We have three podcasts, so be sure to like and subscribe. Now I can tell my son that I'm really a YouTuber. Like and subscribe, right? That's how I claim to fame. He said he wanted to be a YouTuber when he grew up. I said, "Oh, you want to be like your dad?" He's like, "Dad, you're not a YouTuber." I'm like, "Well, not one that you'd watch anyway." So excited to be here. Dell Technologies is great at sharing a lot of great content on social media using the hashtag TransformHIT. So if you're, live tweeting, you're sharing on LinkedIn or X or whatever you want to call it these days, I guess, be sure to use the hashtag TransformHIT and also check out that hashtag throughout the year. They're always sharing a lot of great, useful content. So, all right, without further ado, I think we'll introduce our panelists. We'll have each of them introduce themselves. Tell us a little bit about yourself. You want to kick us off, Michael?
All right, great. Thanks so much for having me as part of this today. Michael Fredericks, I'm Dell's Global Apex and Multi-Cloud Lead for Healthcare. You'll probably understand a little bit more about what that means as I continue to talk, but worked in IT for about 25 years and about 16 of that's been in healthcare in some fashion. So really pleased to be part of this great panel today.
Thanks, Michael. Jason?
Yeah, absolutely. Jason Jones. I am the executive in residence for Rackspace, and my history is Epic. So I spent 15 years as an enterprise architect for what's now Kaiser Northwest, and I spent the last 12 years at Dell about a year ago. I'm on month 11, so excited to be here and talk about this today.
Thanks, Jason.
Eric Pupo, I am the director for Commercial Health IT Advisory at Guidehouse. We're second largest healthcare management consulting firm in the U.S. Previously served as a chief information officer at Columbia University Medical Center. Very familiar with multi-clouds, had to do them myself. And then also serving as a director of healthcare cybersecurity at Amazon. About 25 years in healthcare IT.
Thanks, Eric. Last but not least, the rose amongst the thorns. No, just kidding.
Providing a little diversity here, right? Hi, everyone. I'm Rebecca Woods. I am a retired CIO, former CIO. I am also the senior vice president at Divergent, and I'm the founder of Bluebird Leaders, where we're creating a community for women in healthcare IT.
Yeah. You got to check out Bluebird Leaders. They're doing some amazing work for women. Rebecca, maybe you could kick us off talking about multi-cloud. But before we kind of hit multi-cloud, I'd love to hear your thoughts on kind of this evolution towards multi-cloud. You're a former CIO. Eric could chime in too, as a former CIO. How did we get where we are today? The evolution, because I imagine when you were CIO, was it all on-prem? Talk to us about that, this evolution towards multi-cloud.
Yeah, when I started, a lot of it was paper to EHR, and I was just talking to my mom today, who's in the audience. Yeah. Badge may or may not be stolen. We're not confirming. about how, doctors have had to go through this evolution of going from paper to EHR and how people are still struggling, and now we're going over to the cloud. So as I was CIO, we helped from paper to EHR, helped with all that data governance, and now being able to take stuff off-prem and put it in the cloud, we still have concerns around privacy and redundancy, but I think it's going to be a little bit easier moving that way.
Interesting. I remember a focus group at the Chime Forum where it was about cloud, and this older CIO, for lack of a better term, she was like, they're like, "Hey, do you do cloud?" And she looked at us and she's like, "Well, I don't want to, but I am." It was amazing, right? Like the evolution of what's happened, right?
Yeah, it's kind of like EHRs have came. We're not going to go backwards to paper and cloud's coming. It's already here. And so we need to just have the change happen and go with it.
Eric, you want to chime in? What's been your experience and where are we at with multi-cloud?
We're in an interesting spot. So my experience with it can come from really two perspectives, both as a CIO and then working with customers. So certainly when you start as a CIO, you inherit a lot of what we call technical debt. And multi-cloud can be a little bit of that because what you inherit is everybody's buying different products from AWS or Microsoft or Google Cloud. We have a lot of researchers. I worked in an academic medicine facility. So we have a lot of researchers that want to build different clouds, experiment with different products. That's one perspective. Then when you work outside of the industry, you work a lot with CIOs, what you find is also that workload aspect we're talking about with privacy and security, with specialized workloads like revenue cycle management. Hey, I want to move that to the cloud. How am I going to best do that, get the best level of services to be able to implement that I want? So it tends to come from a little bit of the legacy side, and we've seen it evolve quite a bit now with more and more cloud, but also just from the scope of workloads. I really think AI is going to drive a lot of that too. As more and more, you see with Google Cloud, you see with Microsoft, a lot of their announcements, you're immediately going to get a call as a CIO. Hey, I'd like to spin up a cloud and run that, try that out, pilot it.
Interesting. Jason, I mean, obviously at Rackspace, you do a lot of work with a lot of healthcare organizations and multi-cloud. What are you seeing? Where are you seeing it being used?
So I want to go back real quick because sure. I think, you know, with five of us sitting here, and the important step is let's define cloud, right? Because with five of us here, we could probably come up with 10 definitions of what cloud actually is. And that really, I think, leads into that multi-cloud experience, right? You know, as an enterprise architect that started this journey in this virtualization type world, when I was talking to my network administrators and everything was in the data center, all essentially it was a cloud, right? We were building this experience that never existed. So fast forward, now we have this public, this private, this on-prem, this edge. Like that's really where we define this multi-cloud. So I think that is the really, let's define what it is, especially whoever we're talking to. I mean, I look across the audience, we could come up with hundreds of definitions and they're all valid, right? None of them are invalid. So the complexity in managing that, understanding that as a CIO role, as a, you know, as a clinician, right? That should be hidden from me. I don't want to know. I just want this seamless experience. So multi-cloud is leveraged in every organization across healthcare today, right? Whether they recognize it or not, SaaS-based applications, on-premise applications, interfacing, and all of that. So it's just really that evolution and defining that, and then how do we manage through that level of complexity? That's where I really see us. Let's start there in that foundational piece before we build the building.
So what is the key to managing that as you see it? Like, and being, you know, because it's almost like we have we have so many options. How do we choose what's right? What you know, how do you help organizations kind of rationalize, should it be on-prem, should it be cloud? It seems like we kind of go, oh, we need public cloud. Then we're like, never mind, it's cheaper on-prem, yeah. And we go back and forth.
That journey actually starts with the assessment, right? Because every workload has the right place for the right use case, right? It's the right data at the right time in the right place for the right cost. And so really managing through that and understanding, and some of those could be the right place, could be, you know, a public cloud experience for one use case, but that same data needs to be leveraged in other places, right? So we're going to manage through that ETL, but starting with that assessment, understanding the interaction between applications, and then seamlessly delivering that across an ecosystem, right? So Rackspace has an environment with 100% uptime availability between data centers and the public cloud, and really allowing the client from a single pane of glass to understand where that works and where it works best, and then seamlessly integrating that view of cost for this workload in real time for that location.
Yeah, Michael, maybe you could chime in too. What are you seeing at Dell, you know, with your customers? You know, how are people choosing to use it? How are they rationalizing which to use? You know, and then maybe let's start talking about some of the benefits you're seeing, you know, from those who do it well. And, you know, let's talk about some people who aren't doing it well and are suffering.
Yeah, good questions. And, you know, Jason and I have worked together, so we share a lot of the same I guess, experience and sometimes talk track. But I think that the definition is really important, because when we go to customers, we say, what's your multi-cloud path? What's your journey? For some, they maybe say, well, I don't have one. But to your point, and to the points made already, a lot of organizations are multi-cloud already. So what is multi-cloud? True definition, I mean, at least if, from what I've read, consuming services from at least two public clouds at one time, right? And I think that most, you know, as you look at healthcare, all that technical debt, the legacy stuff, we're now, 14, 15 years into the viability of enterprise durability public cloud. And what is, you know, what does healthcare IT look like today? It's a mix. It's very much a mix. And so healthcare organizations are consuming services where it makes sense right now. A little bit of that, you know, we use terms, and I'm sure we're not unique, but we use terms like multi-cloud by default and multi-cloud by design. And, you know, we'll talk about that a little bit more. But I think a lot of organizations have become multi-cloud by default because a group has gone off to do this and a group has gone off to do that. So like, whether you like it or not, you are multi-cloud. So I think as we continue to have this conversation, the goal is, how do we get ahead of that and put the right strategy in front of that, the right processes? Because there's advantages of taking advantage of things in public cloud. There's advantages of doing thing in private cloud, whether that sits in your data center or it's managed by someone like Rackspace. There's, I think that's going to be with us. And I think if you look at, you know, the ride sharing services, right? Where has anybody given up their car in exchange for the ride sharing services? There's probably some that have, right? But for the vast majority of us, we're going to continue in some sort of hybrid nature. I'm going to use a ride sharing service when it makes sense, but I'm going to continue to have a car. So I think to your point around customers that have done it well and customers that have challenged, you could always find a success or failure story for any point you want to make, right? There is healthcare.
That's interesting.
Yeah, right? I mean, let's be honest, right?
We can make data say whatever we want.
The internet is full of these examples. So you could walk around here and talk to healthcare CIOs, and they'll tell you their wonderful journey to public cloud, how they've moved everything to public cloud and how that's working for them. And that's great. You'll also find organizations that have been burned from a latency standpoint, from, you know, the cost not being anywhere near what they expected it to be. So there's no single right answer. And, you know, that's why we're all here to talk through what that looks like. So I think I've seen customers that have done both, you know, and you know, we'll talk more about what it means to Dell and how we're playing in this space. But our goal is to support you where you need to be for the workload at hand at the time. And, you know, we've got the right solutions and services to make that happen.
So you mentioned multi-cloud by design. Let's talk about that. Like, what does that mean to you? Like, what does that mean for an organization? How can they use that?
Yeah, I mean, well, quite simply, it means going into it with a plan, right? And, you know, what that plan is looks
probably... It's not just foreshadow IT that
no,
then
no.
puts you in the cloud?
Give everybody a credit card and let them go off and do their thing, right?
They exist.
Yeah, yeah. So what that plan is, it's, of course, it's going to vary. If you're a 10-hospital academic medical center versus a single hospital, you know, critical access facility, that plan's going to look a little bit different. But it starts with, you know, we don't go multi-cloud just to go multi-cloud. We go there because there's a reason to do so. And sometimes, I'm using multi-cloud as part of the cloud journey. So take it for what it's worth, whether that's one public cloud provider for you or four. I think that it goes in with a plan. So what's our desired outcome here? Is it to save money? Is it to take advantage of advanced services in public cloud? Is it because I don't have the staff? You know, and I think that's an interesting point, because there's this, I would say, general misconception that moving stuff to public cloud eliminates the need for a lot of technical staff. And I would argue, especially as you deal with multiple public cloud providers, the problem only gets worse unless you go into it with a firm plan, the right organization layout, the right front-end tools to manage all of it. You know, and that's part of the value that, you know, Rackspace brings to the table with kind of consolidating a lot of it for you, maybe taking on some of those technical responsibilities. And of course, there's other ways to, proverbially skin the cat as well, right? But
Jason, you want to hop in here? And I mean, because I think he highlighted exactly what I think most people want to learn, right? Which is like, when should I, you know, what how should I do my planning? Is it, you know, based on the reliability I need? Is it based on the size of the data? Like, you know, what are the different factors that you do? And maybe some examples of, like, you know, a customer you worked with, you're like, oh, this radiology, we had to do XYZ or whatever it might be.
Yeah, so there, we have this concept of best of breed and best of suite, right? And I think multi-cloud really brings that capability to the table where we can leverage both, best of breed and best of suite. So starting with that outcome, what is the desired outcome? Evaluating the right location for that outcome. It could be the public cloud. It could be a private cloud. Depending on the data gravity, it could belong in a data center or a data closet, right? Somewhere close to somebody. And so really evaluating, starting with that outcome and planning from that top-down model, but then you have to build from the bottom up, right? So the foundational, back to, you know, definitions and foundational planning, we understand, okay, the clinical outcome is X, Y, and Z. For us, you know, one of our major claims to fame is we're the largest third-party Epic hosting provider globally. And so delivering that Epic experience to a clinician should be absolutely seamless, right? But that takes with planning that day-to-day clinical outcome for those each individuals, but working all the way back down to the bottom and then starting at that ground and building up. Intentionally building all the way up to the top and not just, oh, go to this one and go to that one and then try to stitch them all together, right? So that intentionality of understanding where I'm trying to get to, but going all the way very, very back to the basics, server storage network, right? And making sure we can't not mention security, and then we'll also throw in AI to get the quota met, right, for the week. But it's really that whole being very intentional with what am I trying to accomplish, but coming all the way back to the very, very foundational, you know, bolt nuts and bolts.
Yeah. Rebecca, you want to chime in? I mean, as a CIO, do they care? And maybe should they care more than, you know, that's the problem I see, I think, with CIOs is that they're like, well, it's someone's dealing with that. I don't know. What? How do you see it?
Yeah, there's lots of concerns, right? You talked about data governance and the use of analytics in the cloud and whether it's multi-cloud or not. And then how do you get the data out and actually use it for clinical measures or quality measures in a meaningful way? And so there's that concern. There's also redundancy and security concerns out there on the cloud. All these things CIOs have to think about that's running through their head at a million miles a minute. And it was there when it was on-prem, but I think it felt a little bit more tangible because you could touch it. And now that you're out on the cloud, it's maybe a little bit more nerve-wracking to a point.
So do they do ignorance is bliss, although it's not, right? Like
Some might. And I know other CIOs that, you know, it keeps them up at night. Now it's just like the new thing that keeps us up at night, right? Yeah.
So how would you approach it if you were a CIO? And because there are this plethora of options, you know, would it be about trusting your team, having good partners? Yeah. How would you approach it?
Well, I mean, as a leader for me, I surround myself with really smart people. So hiring the right people, putting them on the bus and knowing, you know, having a little bit peace of mind that they're doing their job, but then surrounding myself with vendors that also have great qualities and are able to support us as well.
Yeah. Eric, what would you add, you know, as far as the benefits, and maybe let's push it forward a little, like imagine an organization that embraces multi-cloud and has a plan to, you know, to your point, you know, that is multi-cloud by design, right? I like that idea versus someone who just haphazardly adds it, you know, where are they going to be 5 years from now?
Well, I mean, first I would add to with planning, have good governance and have a good operating model. Because there are a lot of IT shops that want to do cloud, want to do AI, don't really have good control in terms of IT, decentralized IT, shadow IT. And someday you're going to end up with 50 LLMs sitting on some cloud in Google and you don't even know about it. And you don't want to go and tell your board that. You don't want to go and tell your COO or CFO that. Or that we've spent $1 million on AI services from Microsoft Azure and we didn't budget or plan for it. So that's one of the things that I'd really stress with multi-cloud by design also is the governance and the demand planning. Understand what these workloads are. What are you doing? What does the customer in this sense, the stakeholder, want to do? Now, if you look at that 5 years from now, I do think we're going to have a little bit of a problem in the sense of multi-cloud where if you don't have what I would call a purpose-built cloud, you're going to have just a lot of people creating accounts, running up costs, creating a lot of stuff that becomes just more shadow IT for us. Because whether it's on-prem or whether it's in the cloud, it's still shadow IT. We're still paying for it. We're still trying to secure it, figure out where it is. So really focus on that governance operating model. And 5 years from now, I think a lot of you'll hear a lot of success stories, but I do think you're going to hear a lot of failures.
That's interesting. I was talking with a health IT company recently, and they had some systems just running, and no one was monitoring it. And what should have been like a $500 to $1,000 a month expense was a $5,000 a month expense. And it was, you know, I mean, that it's kind of like, you know, I come from the marketing side of a lot of things. Google Ads will take whatever money you want to spend. I think the cloud will as well, right? If you want to run it, if you want to use that processing power, you will. So, you know, it's interesting, the whole governance around that.
And I would add to that too, like, we're circle of trust here, right?
So just amongst friends.
We all talk about Change Healthcare, right? Probably talked about it this week. Change Healthcare is multi-cloud because they're on-prem, they're in the cloud. There's a cyber risk to a lot of different things that you do, like at a clearinghouse, revenue cycle management, where multi-cloud can actually be good, and then it can quickly become a problem. And I'm not really at liberty to share too much about it, but multi-cloud had a factor actually in that, not because of multi-cloud by design necessarily being wrong, but that governance side and that operating model not being as solid as you talk about with assets being out there, services deployed in the cloud, where people really understood that.
Go ahead, Jason. Or Michael, I mean.
Go ahead, Mike.
Sorry,
go ahead.
Michael,
go ahead.
You were going.
Okay. I think, first of all, the inefficiencies, right? And the inefficiencies you mentioned, they've existed forever, right? And I think the benefit we had in the data center was we were buying this equipment, CapEx, at a fixed cost, and it sat in our data center and ran for 7 years. So we didn't really realize the inefficiency until we went to go create something new that we didn't have space for, right? But in the public cloud, that's very real. So if you don't put that governance in place and put, ideally, some sort of a cloud management platform, if you're talking multi-cloud, if you've truly got stuff running in multiple clouds, you need common tools in amongst the clouds, common platforms. As much commonality as you can put in each of those places, the easier it's going to be to manage, the easier it's going to be to secure. So I think that's important, because the incident you mentioned, and I'm not suggesting they were haphazardly placing workloads everywhere, but the more, because I really don't know, I mean, to be fair, but the more places you put things without commonality, the harder it is to secure. So I think we just need to be aware of that and keeping that in mind.
Well, I think the other thing that we learned from that incident was the importance of redundancy, you know, and being able to have that redundant, you know, it turns out it's true with EDI and payments. It's true with Exchange. It's true with cloud, right? You know, being able to move cloud if you need to, because there was an incident or whatever it might be. Jason, I want to dive a little bit more into this EHR in the cloud. I think, you know, many people, that the evolution I've seen with the, you know, cloud in healthcare is, oh, sure, we'll put everything in there, but the EHR, you know, like there's nervousness. I think it's starting to dissipate, but, you know, what are you seeing with the EHR in the cloud, and where are we at now?
So I have a cloud conversation every single day about EHR. I mean, that is what I do.
Why the healthcare IT day audience needs to hear this.
Yeah, I mean, that's all we do is cloud. And we got to come all the way back to that. Okay, let's define it. Like, we literally walk into that, right? Because your leadership that says, you know, they read a magazine in the back of an airplane, we're going to go run to cloud. I have a cloud first strategy from the board and this directive. Well, they've seen an ad from, you know, a company that has a logo that just looks like Nike, right? And it might not be the right place to run to. So it's really like, what are you trying to accomplish? We're seeing huge adoption from, you know, moving EHR to the cloud, be it private cloud, be it public cloud. I will advise 100% against a true multi-cloud EHR deployment. Do not put a presentation layer in one cloud and, you know, aspects of the EHR in another cloud. You are setting yourself up for complete train wreck. But production and DR, well, that's a different story, right? Is there a place for a private and a public? Is there a place for two different publics depending on, you know, what you're leveraging or how you're doing it? And again, getting that data to those places to leverage, you know, EHR is kind of like, you know, the truth, but I want to do things with that truth. Best of breed, best of suite tools and capabilities exist across the ecosystem. So how do we take that EHR, into the cloud model that best works for your organization. Are you delivering care into a healthcare desert? Are you, you know, in a, you know, very tightly, you know, defined community? Whatever your delivery looks like, let's make sure we work from that and then make sure that we get the right data to the right place, right? With that really, and we can get it anywhere, right? That's the beauty of technology. Technology is easy. People, process, and, you know, legal issues are the other aspect, right? So it's really, we're seeing huge adoptions in those conversations, but we still have to come back to the definition. What are you trying to achieve? How do you try to achieve it? And what tools are you looking to leverage from that cloud provider, right? And can you do it in a different way that does not incur the same level of cost? Because just because you can do it, it doesn't mean it's always the most cost-effective way to do it.
Yeah, so I mean, the cost is a really interesting conversation. The other evolution is it feels like, and tell me if I'm wrong, what was holding us back for a long time was the EHR vendors embracing the cloud, but it seems like they have. Is that fair or?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this week, you know, I've had a number of conversations with EHR vendors that are here. And it's really, you know, they made the comment of those EHR vendors are those cloud vendors, they're not full service managed capability like we are. They're really competing with the likes of Dell and Cisco and, you know, that aspect. It's just another platform and another level of capability for the building blocks, right? You still have to up-level your team. You still have to get all of that level of expertise, which is a new muscle that we haven't created. So I think the EHR vendors were apprehensive for the security reasons, the data reasons, where, you know, all of those same what keeps the CIOs up awake tonight, but also this aspect of, is that compute stack, storage stack, network connectivity, is it truly ready for the availability that we need? You know, if the rideshare company goes down for a few hours, yeah, some people are going to get upset. We can't go down for a few hours, right? And so that's really what they were hedging. I think for the most part, we've surpassed that area. We've overstepped that. So yeah, they don't see it any different than, you know, it's a server is a server, right?
Yeah. Michael, what would you add to that? What are you seeing at Dell when you work with healthcare organizations that want to move their EHR to the cloud? Is there reticence? Is there excitement? You know, what are you experiencing?
Yeah, I think a lot of times it goes back to this false impression that by moving it to public clouds, it somehow gets easier. And when you think about everything that's involved in the successful management of an IT operation, management of physical hardware is a small portion. Right. So when you might free up some of those resources and that effort and hopefully focus them on more important things, but you still need all of those extra things, whether it's sitting on a server inside of a public cloud provider or whether it's sitting in a server inside of your data center. So I think it comes back again to conversations with customers around what is their holistic journey, what are their mandates, what are the desired outcomes. Just because you can put it in public cloud doesn't mean you should. What does their connectivity look like? What's their proximity of users? If your organization if your users are relatively contained, you know, obviously we have laws of physics, we have latency issues. Sometimes on-prem is the best place for a workload. And we work with a lot of healthcare organizations that are relatively small. You can put a stack of well-optimized infrastructure in a quasi-data center and manage it with one person in a few clicks at much lower rate than you're going to be able to typically do with lifting and shifting, you know, 80 or 100 or 200 VMs into public cloud, because that's what a lot of healthcare organizations are thinking when they go to public cloud. Because let's face it, healthcare IT is legacy for the most part. We're not dealing with all modern applications that are microservices that turn on and off when they're ready, when they're not needed. We're bringing all these VMs over with us to wherever we're going to put workloads that are consuming resources, whether they're doing a whole lot or not. So that's one of the worst financial use cases for public cloud if you're not factoring in all these other aspects of it. So again, not to sound like I'm beating the same drum, but it comes down to just because we should do it doesn't mean we should or could do what we should. And what are we trying to achieve? And what's the best way to get there for you? Because, you know, at Dell, we have mechanisms of providing obviously this cloud-like, private cloud-like solution is something we've been developing since mid-2000s with all of the hypervisor stacks that have come along. We've been doing private cloud in our data center. It's only been getting better. So at Dell, we have financial mechanisms to turn that private cloud environment into a pay-as-you-go type of model, into more of a consumption model. So what are you trying to get to? Because a lot of times we can get you there in a different way. So if nothing else, we just love having the conversations to provide an opinion. You know, we're not there to set the directive, but have you thought about doing it this way? Because it might be better for these reasons. And at the end of the day, they get to choose what's right for them. And, you know, we have this concept, I know I'm going off a little bit, but when we talk about Apex, we talk about two things, ground to cloud and cloud to ground. We bring our technologies with customers to public cloud so that they get that commonality, that efficiency, that performance with them on their journey. Because a lot of times you're giving up those things when you move to public cloud. You're giving up data reduction benefits, all of this multi-AZ durability of some things. You're giving up a lot of advanced features, which we've had in our data center for years. So we can bring that with them on their public cloud journey, if that's what makes sense. But also, we can bring public cloud-like technologies into their data center for where that makes sense. And I know we're going to talk about AI and maybe a little bit of edge and all of these things. We're going to remain in this mixed mode for probably forever. I think that it's about supporting the right workloads in the right places at the right time.
I would address that real quick.
Yeah, go ahead, Jason.
So,
then Rebecca.
So Mike brought up a really good term I really want to drill into a bit. This whole idea of lift and shift, the most inefficient, the worst thing that an organization can do. And we've seen a lot of that lift and shift of like, oh, it's going to be easier. It's going to not keep me up at night. There's more redundancy, all of this capability. I'm just going to put it out there. Those workloads aren't built for that type of environment and that operating. And so that's where we see this runaway cost. We see this inefficiency and these promises that never panned out. So it's really like, let's refactor. Refactoring might need to take place. Or you see this repatriation, we read it in the news, oh, repatriation from AWS and Azure and all of this stuff. Well, it was literally because you put a workload that didn't belong there or wasn't ready to be there. Not that it doesn't belong there, right? But the workload itself wasn't ready, or you didn't do a little bit of work to prepare it to be ready. Work with your ISVs, work with your partners that do this every single day, and we can help you get the things where they need to be, right? Because that, I think that has really kind of stumbled us in healthcare a lot. There's technologies, I mean, CIOs, we've worked with it. 30-year-old technologies that the organization's out of business, it's critical for clinical delivery, we're doing something with it. There's no way that thing was built for an environment that didn't exist. So how do we do this well, right? And so I really think that that's a big piece of this, slow uptake that we've heard, and some of that apprehension that we talked about a little bit in healthcare specifically. Are we really ready? I think we are ready for that multi-cloud experience, but because we took things that didn't belong there and we shoved them in, it kind of burnt people out. Yeah,
that's
it just didn't work.
I think Rebecca wanted to do it, and then come to you, Eric.
I just think we're talking a lot about making a plan and picking the right vendors, and that couldn't be more real for a CIO to be able to communicate that, where we're really having to be out behind the locked door now, right? And explain that to the board and to the other C-level executives that this isn't just the next shiny object. This is the way of the future. Also, pick the next shiny object and help them defer those shiny objects to what is real, and also communicate that it's not going to save us thousands, and this is a monthly reoccurring revenue. This is not an end of a bill that's going to stop, a one-time bill, and communicating that in a way that the board members, that's the real estate agent, the tax exec, that can actually understand, can really make or break a CIO in their role.
So the CIO needs to get everyone sunglasses so they can't see the shine? Is that...
Yeah, something like that.
I like that. Eric, what would you add? And let's talk like about AI. We said we had to talk about AI. I mean, yeah. I think your comment about having 50 LLMs, I'm still chewing on that idea, because you're right. We could end up with a lot of LLMs across a lot of clouds and kind of mess. But go ahead.
No, well, first of all, is that sunglasses a joke about Florida? Don't do that.
Oh, yeah, I forgot
I'm
to
a
ask
Floridian.
The important question.
I'm a Floridian myself, yes. Yeah. So if I may add just a really quick on because I've done EHR migrations to the cloud a few times now. So
you have the scars.
I've done the ROI, for example, the scars. Yes, because a lot of times presenting to CFOs, COOs, you're not going to save money in the first 3 years or for 5 years even. So you'll see a lot of times public cloud providers will give credits and they'll kind of give you money to get on there. It's like a utility. So oftentimes there's no cost advantage to doing it. And then it just becomes, certainly in the case that I've seen, where can you get a value? And you'll hear this word fabric used a lot. Like, can I get a data fabric, a digital fabric where I can work better with my partners, deploy new applications, share? And you can do that public cloud, you can do that private cloud. And you can do that with AI, to your original question. So that's an advantage to that. But what I would definitely stress, you know, and the problem we see a lot with AI is you see people wanting to like get data, get AI, get everything all together in one place. And an advantage of multi-cloud by design is you can isolate workloads a lot better, where you might say, hey, I'm going to move my EHR to AWS. I might have a private cloud. Can I do a shameless plug for Dell? You can have your Dell healthcare industry cloud purpose-built for RevCycle and have that deployed and have data feeds go into that. You can have a cloud data warehouse on Azure, on GCP, and have data come from Epic to that and isolate and really control those environments a lot better versus saying, let me just move everything in my EHR included to the cloud. Like you said, with applications, it's just not going to work. It's scary.
Rebecca, how would you approach AI, you know, as a CIO? What are you seeing, you know, because, you know, we could have a zillion AI applications, but, you know, then we're in a different situation. And we saw that with EHR, right? First you implemented the lab, then you implemented the pharmacy, then you did the EHR. Then you said, wait, why do we have seven vendors? Like, let's just have one. How would you be approaching AI, especially when it comes to cloud?
Yeah, I mean, having a strategy around it, I think, and then, you know, really attacking your data governance plan and involving all of the departments, I think will help with that.
Interesting. Yeah, go ahead.
You know, I think AI is interesting because it's going to exacerbate the problem on all on all ends, right? Because there's going to be this need. All of the public cloud providers are going to build these fabulous AI tools that are going to need access to your data to do something. So you have to start asking yourself, do I move my data into all of those places? Do I replicate it and pay the cost of duplicating all of that data? Do I do something cloud adjacent with a partner like Rackspace, where I put my data in a central location and I point those AI services at that central source of data? But we've also got the edge use cases as well. We have just as much as we're going to see people wanting to push data to public cloud to do things with it, we're going to see from either a latency standpoint or another reason to where that AI decision in that data set needs to be much closer to the use case. And obviously, self-driving cars are probably one of the best examples of that, right? You think of if your self-driving car had to communicate over the cellular network to a public cloud server to make a decision on whether to Is that a person walking? Do I turn? Do I not? Right? That needs to be very close. So I think we're going to see an exacerbation. It's going to make this design much more important. And also the other thing is in healthcare, for most of the healthcare organizations that we talk to, a lot of them are smaller. They don't have development shops. They're not going to be developing. You've got the academic facilities that are going to be doing amazing stuff with their own large language models. But you've got everyone else who's going to go to a vendor who's going to use AI to solve a problem, you know, and it may not solve every problem in the organization with one platform. So they're going to need to go. AI is a piece of the puzzle. It's a part of the solution. So you're still going to have a lot of these best-of-breed solutions that are solving particular problems, whether they access a common data set somewhere or not. So it's...
That's a really good point. Jason, what's your perspective on this?
This is probably the most difficult conversation that you want to talk about shiny objects, you know.
Well, in 2 years from now, or I mean 6 months from now, it will be different.
Well, and literally half of this hall now probably has .ai in their name somewhere, right? And so you've seen this overnight in It literally comes back to that. What are you trying to accomplish? Sit around, you know, CIO roundtables and sure, AI comes up, but it's not top of mind because it's such a clouded understanding of what are we trying to accomplish, right? And how are we going to get there? And everybody's going to change the value. I mean, every one of us is sitting around with a phone. We've been doing AI for years, right? And just now that my wife actually understands that AI exists, that's why every one of these companies has .AI in their name. We've been looking at images for, trying to find anomalies with computer lenses for years, right? So it's not a new technology. I think it's just got this hype cycle of adoption. Now, can it solve real world problems? Absolutely. So what we've done at Rackspace, we can't claim to understand the world's problems from an AI perspective. And I honestly don't think anybody here can, but what we've built, it's called FAIR, Foundry for AI from Rackspace. And it's the ability for you to bring in an idea, right? And so through a workshop, whether it's public cloud, whether it's private cloud, right? We'll figure out where it belongs and what tool sets you need to leverage. But it's this concept of let's have an ideation session around what are the low-hanging fruit? You talk about quality measures and CMS and those types of things. Are there things that in that space that are difficult to address, that are repetitive, that we can think about? What is that solution? Then we move into an incubation period where we're building those LLMs or leveraging those LLMs in a fail fast model, right? Because we don't want to take a lot of time doing this. We want to fail really, really quickly to get to the best possible outcome. Once we get to that best possible outcome, we industrialize, right? And then we start that process over. And this isn't a 6, 8, 12 month process. This is a 6 week process from ideate to industrialization and getting something of real true value to the people that need it the most, right? The other buzzwords that we've heard is the clinical burnout. That's not a buzzword. That's real, real life, right? I mean, I know people in my community that are just walking away from this career because they can't do it anymore. Let's take some of that burden off of them in these places. So I see AI in real world helping, but it's not just every pitch that's going to save you, $10 here to spend $1 million there.
Yeah, one thing to add to that, too, you had asked about the original 50 LLMs. So I've seen it in the field. And we have a saying, we used to use it like Chime CIOs, hype equals dead. Because when you have hype cycles like we're having now, people are just going to want to start doing things. They want to get promoted. They want to get in the news. They want to build all this great stuff. And in the example of 50 LLMs, this was one service line for oncology. 50. Yeah. Doing the same thing. And AI
and
applications.
Just getting started.
Yeah, and oftentimes they're data driven. So it's the same data they're even using and training on. So you've got to control, I agree, sometimes that hype, experiment, pilot. But it's almost like the old Vanilla Ice lyrics, like stop, collaborate, and listen. Like people don't do that. They just want to run and start building stuff in AI and get too caught up in the hype. And if they collaborate, listen, work together, can find a lot better way to do it.
That's great. I agree. Well, we have just a little time left. Maybe we can go down. Michael, you could start. We'll go down the line. 5 years from now, what does it look like? 30 seconds each. 5 years now, what is cloud going to look like?
I think 5 years from now, it's going to look almost exactly the same with a lot more data. I think we're still going to be divided in this conversation of does it go to public cloud? Does it go on-prem? Is it edge use case? We're 14, 15 years into public cloud, and I don't see it changing drastically over the next 5 years. The reliance on IT for life-saving mechanisms is going to become even more important. And, I think there was this concept when I started at a healthcare system in early 2000s that we were supportive to the clinician's job, but ultimately we weren't really responsible for patient lives in IT. And the clinician would always be able to work without the IT system and take care of that patient. And I think we've seen that has changed.
Yeah,
it's very hard, from what I can tell as a non-clinician, but talking with clinicians, it would be, you take away all those tools all of a sudden, that EHR goes down for 3 hours. Their ability to save a patient life is affected. And it's only going to get worse as we start introducing additional AI solutions that are going to be, they're great when they work and they're great when the system is up and when they're accurate, but we're going to start relying on them more and more. And when they're not available, there's going to be consequences.
Yep. Jason, 30 seconds on it.
Yeah, I think if If I could tell you where it was in 5 years, my wife would be much happier about my stock portfolio.
You'd visit to Vegas?
She'd be much happier. But where I hope is I hope we can get to that place, like our cell phone. Everybody in this room has a cell phone, right? And every single cell phone is tied to a cloud, right? Some of it is on-premise. Some of it is actual true cloud capabilities. But really reaching, you know, I have this passion about the healthcare deserts and understanding that is such a reality here in the United States. Like that ownership of care and that ability for the consumer now to truly be engaged with their provider across, you know, generational, right? All the way across every generation has that access. And we have it today, but I really feel it's contained more to the technologically advanced or those that want to consume it, right? And I go back to my wife and she won't watch this, which is great, but she doesn't know how to engage her provider, right? And so the other day I literally had to walk her through a telemedicine appointment over my chart on her iPhone. And, you know, I want to see that type of capability just eliminated. And I think the cloud will help us get there, not just from primary care provider, but all levels of care and care delivery.
Awesome. Eric?
Yeah, I think I agree a lot with what Michael said. It'll be very similar. However, what I think you'll see is a lot more purpose-built clouds. I'm a big believer in that because successful hospitals that Guidehouses work with are doing more and more of those built for patients, built for providers, built for specialties, and really deploying them and connecting communities, interoperability, much easier to do. So I think that's a really big one. And you're going to also hear probably more of these words called fabrics, data fabrics, application fabrics, where it starts to become clouds like a utility. It's just all amorphous together. Right now, it's a lot still of we're doing building a lot, and it's separated. It'll be much more connected, and you'll hear, I think, a lot more about that.
Love that. Rebecca?
I can tell you what I want to see.
Yeah, let's hear it.
So I agree. I really hope that we can start integrating our phones and the patient can start interacting more with the clouds as more and more clouds and multi-clouds are just going to become more popular. I also really hope that rural health centers are able to participate more in clouds and really be able to have a chance to upgrade their IT systems, which are so far behind. And I also really think and hope that in 5 years, we're really starting to move that needle from sick care over to well care using these clouds and AI technologies, because this is where we need to go in healthcare.
Awesome. Well, Michael, do you want to wrap us up and take us home?
Yeah, thank you. I think, what I've learned from this is know your why, plan your how, measure your how against the why, and go in planning for what's next, because I think we all know that everything continues to change. Regulations change, the world's change. You've got to have plan B closely at hand, I think, when you're doing this. So I'd like to thank everybody for their expert opinion. Thank you, Rebecca, Eric, Jason. Thank you to our moderator, John, from everyone here in the Dell Technologies booth and Rackspace. Thank you for hosting this.
Yeah, and thanks, everyone. You can find the recording of this on healthcareittoday.com. We'll be publishing it there. Be sure to follow along at transformhit, on social media as well. Let's give a round of applause to all of our panelists.